Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So Father, we thank you for this revelation that you have been saturating us with and exposing us to and causing us to become more and more aware of it so that our lives can go to a whole nother level. Give us eyes to see what you want us to see tonight. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. Give us a heart to capture the truth and the reality, the kingdom reality that you want us to grasp, and give us and open our minds to understand. Understand and process what you're showing us and how we can make it work and applicable to our lives. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been in a study. We've been studying the power of the cross, the power of the cross. Our purpose in this is to cause us to have a perception of the cross, a deeper perception of the cross that we need to, we must catch. Amen. And God want to show us some things that we're looking at because, as I stated already, many believers are living as if the cross did not make any difference. And I don't want that happening to you. Yes, we know that on the cross, Jesus died for our sins. Glory to God. Yes, he did, and we praise God for that. Yes, on the cross, God forgave us. Yes, we received forgiveness. But there's more to the cross than that. You have to understand, and I want you to catch this, that Jesus on the cross was our substitution. Yes, he took our place. But not only was he our substitution. So the Bible says, Isaiah, and we may look at this a little later, he was wounded for our transgressions. See, he took our place. He was bruised for our iniquities. See, he did all of this as our substitution. Our sins were placed on him. His righteousness was placed on us. Our iniquities, all the punishment was placed on him. And we received the life that he lived, the life, glory to God, of righteousness that pleased the Father, now is on us. He was our substitution. But then not only was he our substitution, Jesus was our sacrifice. He was the sacrificial Lamb of God who was slain for you and I. Praise God. So he was our substitution. He was our sacrifice. And then he was also our supernatural solution. What do you mean, Pastor Mark? He was the seed that was planted, and in the resurrection, we came into new life. Glory to God. A supernatural solution so that we no longer have to become enslaved to the world system. We don't have to become enslaved to satanic interference, satanic interruption, satanic governing, trying to govern our lives, our decision making. No, we're free. Praise God. So we're looking more into the power of the cross so that we can learn how to filter life through what the cross purchased for us and the power that has been released from the cross. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. Because one of the things that I'm learning more and more of is that because of the cross, and I made this statement to you before, because of the cross, what Jesus has made available to me and what he has made accessible for me, it's mine right now. It's mine right now. What Jesus has made available to us, what he has made accessible for us, it's ours right now. So to what degree am I taking advantage of it? To what degree am I appropriating it in my life? To what degree am I accessing it and applying it and governing my life by it? Jesus is saying this. Watch this, dear heart. Stop trying to get what I have already died for you to have. Wow. Stop trying to get what I have already died for you to have. Let's dive off into our scripture text. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, glory to God. We're going to start at verse 18. And it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, hold on to that now. It is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Hold on to that, because that's the key thing to this entire lesson as we talk about the power of the cross. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. One translation says, I will bring to nothing the understanding of those who think they are clever, the clever ones. How often do people think that they can make their life work doing it their way? Let me just inject this before I continue reading. There's a lot of people today who claim to know the scriptures, know a lot about the Bible, but their own life is calling them a liar. Now, that might seem kind of hard, but just stay with me for a moment. Because when I was processing this statement, and I started asking God, because I don't know about you, I always want to be at this place where I'm always reaching for more. I don't want to get satisfied. I understand that Jesus didn't die on the cross so that I can be a good church member. He didn't die on the cross for church memberships. No. So I have to understand that I got to be reaching for what he died for me to have. I understand that becoming saved is the first portion or the entry into this new life, and that there is more. There's so much more that the Lord wants you and I to have. There's so much more that God wants you and I to do for him. There is so much more that God wants to reveal to us. There is so much more that God wants you and I to walk in. I want you to get this concept of a much more lifestyle, Jesus. There's so much more. So don't think that you know enough to relax as a Christian. Don't think you know enough. Just, okay, I'm going to settle for being a good church member. He didn't die for you and I to become good church members. The reason why we are good church members is because the church that I'm attending, they're getting the overflow of my relationship with God. Amen. But he didn't go to the cross so that I can be a good church member. He didn't go to the cross so I can carry a Bible. That's not why he went to the cross. So I've thought about that question. There's a lot of people today who claim to know the scriptures, but their lives are calling them a liar. So I was asking the Lord, and this is me now, this is me. I was asking them, Lord, is my life calling me a liar? In other words, am I as productive as the word says I should be? Is my life producing what Jesus paid for me to have on the cross? I said, Lord, help me to move into more. I want more. And that's why the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to be intentional about this hunger business, this reaching for more and not settle, not live in comparison and compare myself to another Christian and say, well, at least I'm better than them. Look what's going on in their lives. No, I don't want to live by comparisons. And then I don't want to live by settling. I don't want to settle for all that I've learned and think that I can relax now and I can just coast. I don't want to do that. No. The power of the cross enables me to live a more empowered life than that, so that I won't live just being satisfied with good church. You know what I mean? Good church service. No. He didn't just die for me to be able to go and experience a good church service and feel satisfied when I leave that. No. There's more to this than that. And I want Jesus to know that here's a vessel who's reaching for more. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. So he'll know that we are a people who refuse to be satisfied with religious duties, just be satisfied with religious church services and think we've done our job, think we've done our part. No. We're reaching for a life that impacts others, influences others. We're reaching for a life that constantly carries an impartation to release in our sphere of influence. That what occurred on the cross for me not only transformed me, but now it causes me to be a vessel of transformation to others. No. Not just leading them to Christ. And that's good, because that's the greatest miracle you'll ever receive. But I'm transforming things. 1 Peter 3:8 says, for this purpose, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God. I'm living out Jesus' purpose. So I'm going to destroy the works of the devil in other people's lives. I'm going to destroy the works of the devil in my sphere of influence. I'm going to destroy the works of the devil, glory to God, wherever there are satanic nestings, wherever there's a satanic strategy trying to crop up. No, because I am the light of the world. I am a threat to darkness, no matter where it is. And so are you. You are a threat to darkness. That's what the power of the cross has done. Let's keep reading. So God says, all these people who think that they can make their own lives work, that's what he's talking about in verse 19. I'm bringing that to nothing. Because with all their smarts, and they're trying to do life and live life without me, they still hit a wall and come to nothing. Still are not happy, not fulfilled, no matter how much money they make, no matter how many trips they take, no matter how many countries they visit, no matter places they go. It's all a facade. because they can't live life and do life without me. Look at this, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ, translate, meditate, the anointed one, crucified. That's the power of the cross. Unto the Jews, that's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. It don't make sense. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. So we're in this study about the power of the cross, and we're looking at certain things. And one of the things I've already pointed out to you, just to remind you of it, is, see, we don't want to live beneath our privileges in the area that Jesus purchased for us to have, what he gave us a right to. So what we're doing in this study, we're building a fresh appreciation of the cross. Listen, dear hearts, your faith will not be as strong as it should be without the revelation of the cross. So I shared this with you already. There's a perception of the cross that we must catch. Number one, we must catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. Knowing the value of the cross. It's not that we just needed forgiveness from sin. No, we needed a Savior. He not only saved us from sin, he saved us from a defeated life. He saved us from a condemned life. He saved us from a ruined life. Are you with me? So that we can walk now in newness of life. So we got to catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. And watch this. And when you catch the perception of the value of the cross, that value of the cross marks your thinking and marks your life to where you will never, listen, lose value in yourself. Because he went to the cross for me. You won't attach your self-value to things that don't matter because of the price that was paid for me. So we got to catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. The power of the cross, that value, it elevated your life and mine. That God made us valuable. Two, we got to catch the perception of knowing the victory of the cross. Everything he nailed to that cross, I got a little note for you. Because of the cross, this is the victory of the cross. Because of the cross, listen, I am not a survivor. You are not a survivor. Because of the cross, you are a triumphant child of God, Jesus. That's why he always causes you to triumph. You are a triumphant child of God, and you have to start processing life through the victory of the cross. Because of the cross, you are a conqueror. Everything that was against you has been conquered, and Jesus made you and I conquerors. So no matter what challenge we face in life, although we might not want to go through it, listen, the ability to conquer it is already in us and on us in Jesus' name. Sometimes we don't want to go through things, but it don't make a difference. When you make up in your mind, I'm going through this because I'm going through this with a conquering mindset, a conquering mentality, that'll change the whole perspective of the whole situation. So because of the cross, I am a triumphant child of God. Because of the cross, I am a conqueror. Because of the cross, I am an overcomer. Because of the cross, I am a victorious believer. Jesus. So now you have to understand that when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you were made holy and righteous by Jesus' blood once and for all because of the cross. And now because of that, you can enter boldly into the presence of God without any guilt, without any shame, without any intimidation, without any condemnation, without any inferiority, without any insecurity, without any fear, without any guilt, and listen, and without any expectation of punishment, all because of the cross. Wow. So that's why we have to capture the perception of knowing the value of the cross, capture the perception of knowing the victory of the cross. And here's the good part. We got to capture the perception of knowing the virtue of the cross. What happened on that cross and what happened because of the cross gives us courage and boldness to live the life that Jesus died for you and I to have. You know, when you look at some Christians, man, they struggling to live out their Christianity. They struggling. And as Christians, we shouldn't live weak lives. We shouldn't live struggling lives. See, that's why you have to understand you're not a sinner saved by grace. I've been pointing this out in this teaching. You were a sinner. Because of the cross now, you are saved by grace. So now I let go of the sin tag. Because who did Jesus die for? He died for me. Now I pointed this out. Look at it. Go to Romans 5. Let's go to Romans 5. Come on. Let's look at some things here. We pointed this out already. Romans 5, blessed be God forever. I got notes everywhere, but we're going to make this work. Glory to God. Okay, from the King James Bible, look at this. Let's start at verse 6. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2. Stay with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ, the anointed one, died for the ungodly. Who did he die for? The ungodly. Now, here's the question you got to ask yourself. When he died, did they remain ungodly? No. Okay, so when he died and they don't remain ungodly, then when he died, you don't remain a sinner. So you're not a sinner saved by grace. People say that they think they're being humble because, see, they're focused on their flaws, their foul-ups, their fumbles, their failures. So they keep bringing it up. Well, Pastor Mark, you know that you're not perfect. You know you sin. And I thank God, watch this, I have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is my advocate. That through his blood, I can, any mistake, any flaw is wiped out and I don't have to carry it. But see, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he destroyed the hold that sin had on us to where we're not, if you're a Christian now, you shouldn't be, we're not choosing to practice sin because we're free from it. So look what it says. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the power of the cross now set us free from the control, authority, and condemnation of sin. Amen. So on the cross was a demonstration of love. Look at verse 9. Much more. Now, it's because of these phrases in this passage of scripture that, man, I'm holding on to that concept, a much more lifestyle. You ought to go through the Bible, specifically the New Testament, and see how many times you see that phrase come together, much more. Much more than being now justified. Being justified when? Now. The word justified means to be declared right. So if God declares me right, if God declares you right, then what right do you have declaring that you're wrong or that you're still wrong or that you're still a sinner? He declares me right. The power of the cross sets me free, listen, from wrong thinking. So you have to learn how to process that. Now, mind you, I know this. There are a lot of Christians, man, who are living beneath their privileges. Listen, you want to know one of the things they do? Christians should not be in the business of condemning. Christians should not be in the business of criticizing. Christians should not be in the business of complaining. Christians should not be in the business, but we find a lot of them. Why? Because they're not processing life through the power of the cross. I remember when I first started out in ministry, man, I was hard. I was hard, had no compassion. Cheryl and the kids had to go through my growing pains. They did. I was firm. I was tough. and felt like I was right. I felt justified what I said, what I did. And I was as wrong as two left shoes. You want to know why? Because I had no love. There was no love in that. There was no love. Now, I justified it and said it was love, but no. So I had to learn how to, watch this, y'all, be delivered from my self-righteous attitude. I had to be delivered. Because, see, God was teaching me all these spiritual truths. And man, I'm learning stuff that I didn't learn growing up. My awareness was exposed to all this spiritual truth. And just because I was coming into the knowledge of truth didn't mean that I knew how to apply the truth to my life, because I wasn't allowing the Holy Spirit to saturate me and develop me in it and to show me how to walk this thing out. I had to learn. I had to learn how to do that. I had to learn how to have some grace. I had to learn how to have some grace. And so because of that, man, Cheryl and the kids, they endured my growing pains. That's why I always say, I said, I am the man of God I am today because of God and Cheryl. And then if my kids are around, they'll say, and us too. And they are right, because all of that was part of my development. All of that was part of my school. All of that was part of my training. Amen. And I thank God for it. I thank God for them. I thank God for everything that we've learned and we've grown together. And I thank God they didn't kick me to the curb. Aren't y'all glad they didn't kick me to the curb? I'm glad. So listen. God wants me to live a much more lifestyle because of the cross. So verse 9 again. I'm in Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. When did he shed his blood? On the cross. We shall be saved from wrath through him. So now I can live this life knowing God is not angry at me. God is not upset at me. Now listen. You have to learn to filter all circumstances that you face, filter them through the cross. In essence, don't accept that if you're going through a distasteful moment in life, if you're going through a challenging moment in life, don't accept it that God has allowed something terrible to happen to you because that was his will for you. No. I'm filtering this circumstance through the cross now. And I understand because of this verse, I'm already saved from any wrath through him. So God is not angry at me. So I understand that this challenge I'm facing, I have to approach it with a triumphant mindset because I'm a triumphant child of God because of the cross. I have to approach it with a conquering attitude because I'm a conqueror because of the cross. I have to approach it with this overcoming mindset because of the cross, I'm an overcomer. You follow me? You got to learn to filter circumstances through the cross and not filter what happens to you in life through your feelings. Filter it through, I feel like I'm being picked on. Why is this happening to me? I remember one time I told the Lord that, why is this happening to me? And he answered me real quick. He said, because you're anointed. I said, huh? He said, because you're anointed. You're anointed to overcome it. So go overcome it. I didn't have nothing to say after that. He said, I asked him, why am I going through this? He said, because you are anointed. You are anointed to overcome it. Now go overcome it. There's nothing else to say. I couldn't tell him, well, take the anointing off of me. No, that ain't going to fly. Glory to God. So I had you put this down in your notes. I'm going to remind you of it. Put this down in your notes again because I want to keep this before you. The secret of reigning in life, R-E-I-G-N, reigning, R-E-I-G-N. The secret of reigning in life lies with receiving everything that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. The secret of reigning in life lies with receiving everything that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Glory to God. So now let's go back to our scripture. Look at verse 10 of Romans 5. For if when we were enemies, so we used to be enemies to God, but we're not anymore. You got to see that. We're not anymore. So you can't think like you're an enemy. You can't think like you're on the outside looking in. You can't think like you're missing out. You can't think like that. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more. There's that much more lifestyle. Much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So if I'm saved by his life, then I'm not going to lose out on anything in my life. And don't, Don't just look at this from a religious perspective. I'm saved by his life, so I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. And then that's it. No. It's more to it than that. Glory to God. I'm saved. I'm whole. I'm healed. I'm secure. I'm prosperous. I'm safe. Amen. All of that is involved in the Greek word sozo, which means saved, in the Greek word soteria, which is salvation. All of that is in there. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So now when you're living beneath your privileges and you're not living by the power of the Christ, by the power of the cross, you don't live a joy-filled life. You'll always have this sour look on your face because you feel like life is beating you up and you don't know how to win and you don't know how to deal with the things that's happening to you. Family's not acting right. Kids not acting right. Money isn't right. It's not right on the job. Body's not acting right. You'll start looking at your life from a things are not right perspective instead of, look at verse 11 again. Look what it says. But we also joy in God. You won't look at life from this joy-filled perspective because you feel like you're losing. But because of the power of the cross, I can change my perspective. I can change my perspective. I can change my attitude, and I can have this paradigm shift. Let's look at some things now. Let me take a little bit further. We said that the cross speaks of relationship, restoration, redemption, reconciliation, and reigning. The cross speaks of relationship, restoration, redemption, reconciliation, and reigning. So we've already looked at the relationship aspect, and I asked you this question, if you recall. I said, which relationship are you having with God? Are you relating to God from the place of what Jesus has already done for you? Or are you relating to God from a place where you are trying to win his acceptance, win his approval? So that's why people live their lives this way. I got to pray so many hours because they're trying to win God's approval. Now, there's nothing wrong in praying for several hours, but what's your motive behind it? I'm not doing it to win God's approval. I'm not doing it to win God's acceptance. See, I'm praying from the place of what Jesus has already done for me. I'm praying from the place of the power of the cross. There are some people who fast, and so they'll fast a lot of days because they're trying to win God's approval. So I'm going on a 40-day fast. Well, there's nothing wrong with a 40-day fast if God has led you to do that. But what's your motive? What's your intent behind it? Why? What's the why? Some people say they won't feel good about themselves if they don't read the Bible through in a year or read the Bible through several times in 1 year. I got to do this. Why? What's your motive? What's your intent? What's the why behind what you're doing and you're saying you're doing it for God? Are you trying to win God's approval? Which relationship are you having with God? Are you relating to God from a place of justification? Or are you relating to God from a place of guilt? So this is what you got to answer. Because the power of the cross speaks of relationship. I have to begin relating to God from the place of what Jesus has already done for me. I'm justified. He declared me righteous. Amen. So you have to locate your relationship with God. And then tonight, I want us to look at this one. The cross speaks of restoration. Restoration. What's restoration? It's a reinstatement. It's a renewal. Restoration, when something is restored, it has been renewed. Restoration, it's a reviving. That's why there should be some liveliness about you. When something has been revived, it's alive. Restoration, it's a returning. So God, through the substitution of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, glory to God, and Jesus being my supernatural solution and being resurrected, God has returned me to the place of being his favorite, all of us, as born-again children of God. Restoration. See, so when we talk about restoration, it's the restoration of peace. So you should never be living a life beneath the privilege of living in the peace of God. Because Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Well, if Jesus gave me his peace, I'm going to receive it. I'm not going to live without it. And his peace doesn't mean absence of conflict. I'm going to have peace in the middle of any storm because he made me an overcomer before the storm. I'm still an overcomer in the storm. And as I overcome, this storm will pass. Jesus. Restoration of peace. It's a restoration of position. It's a restoration of power. It's a restoration of provision and a restoration of prosperity. So restoration, the cross speaks of restoration. Now, put this down in your notes about restoration. Come on, put this down in your notes. Flow with me tonight. A restoration mentality processes life differently. A restoration mentality processes life differently. So when you catch the revelation of the cross and operates with the power of the cross, you'll have a restoration mentality. This is where you have to renew your mind. A restoration mentality processes life differently. So a restoration mentality will never see itself as losing. It'll never see loss as final. You follow me? It'll never see pain or a painful situation as the end. When you have a restoration mentality, I understand that he always restores my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my memory, and my imagination. I don't have to accept bad days. Why? I have a restoration mentality because of the power of the cross. When you develop a restoration mindset, you develop a restoration perspective. You'll see things differently. And even though you're navigating through life and you got to deal with imperfect people who do imperfect things, you learn not to take things personal because you have a restoration perspective. I'm not defined by how people treat me. I'm defined by what my God has done for me. Jesus. Are y'all getting this? This making sense? Everyone say a restoration mentality. A restoration mentality. So for many of us, we have to allow the power of the cross to deliver us from our stinking thinking, our old way of thinking. If people don't talk right to you, it ruins your day. What? You don't let nobody steal your day. This is a day that the Lord has made. If somebody don't act right, it bothers you. What? You don't have no control over how another person acts. The only person you have control over is yourself. See, a restoration mentality. Come on, say a restoration mentality. You have to develop a restoration mentality because of the power of the cross. The cross speaks of relationship, and it also speaks of restoration. When you develop a restoration mentality, you'll develop a restoration perspective. You'll develop this restoration attitude. Now, I want to challenge you all to get to this place where you'll use your faith to declare, my down days are over. My times of feeling down and feeling in despair, they're over. I want you to turn in your credentials for feeling sad. No, I'm not talking about faking it till you're making it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you're going to settle it that I am going to begin seeing my life through God's eyes and not just my own. I'm going to start seeing my life through God's eyes, and I'm not going to see life through any measure of pain. How is it that you can have a healer and yet you're holding on to pain? There's some people who won't allow God to heal them of pain. They carry it because they become used to the pain. They become used to feeling like that, how the pain causes them to feel, whether it's emotional pain, and mainly what I'm dealing with is emotional right now, emotional, mental pain. No. I got to see this thing. I got to see my life through God's eyes and not through any pain I have felt. I got to see my life through, watch this, God's love and not through any void I may feel. You don't have to live an empty life because of the power of the cross. See, what am I showing you? We're catching the perception of knowing the value of the cross. We're catching the perception of knowing the victory of the cross. And we're catching the perception of knowing the virtue of the cross. To live our life boldly, connected to God. Knowing that me and God, we are a majority. Watch what the Bible says. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Well, when are you going to start living like that? For real, for real. See, so you got to live looking through or seeing your life through God's love for you and not seeing your life through any void you may feel. Or any void you will feel because of certain, let's say something happens that surprises you. Well, it may have taken you by surprise, but it didn't take God by surprise. And you got to always remember, God loves me. Come on. God is with me. Come on. God is for me. God is on my side. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Glory to God. I am important and valuable to the work of God or to the kingdom of God. Watch this. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That never changes. Why? Because of the power of the cross. So you have to learn to take authority over emotional conditions and emotional states and mindsets that are trying to cause you to live beneath your privileges that the cross has paid the price for you to have. And then when you have this restoration mentality, you'll have, watch this, a restoration view. That's what I'm talking about. When I say see life through God's eyes, see life through God's love, I'm talking about having a restoration view. I'm restored. Watch this. And you'll begin seeing life through God's grace and favor and not through a cursed perspective. You are not cursed. I used to say this back in the day. Thank God I'm delivered. Glory to God. But this is way back in the day, way back in the day. I used to say this. Oh, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Luck? Thank God I'm delivered. Luck? Luck don't have nothing to do with my life or yours. We're not lucky. We're blessed and favored. We're anointed and delivered. Amen. We're justified, righteous, in right standing with Almighty God. This ain't got nothing to do with luck. I don't need no luck. Luck is too weak to attach itself to you and me. You with me? Glory to God. So in closing this out today, man, I want y'all to get this. I want you to get this. You have to understand, where do I want to go? Man, there's so many scriptures. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 now. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. In these closing moments, this is where we're going to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 2. My prayer is that you are listening to the rebroadcast so that you can get this in your spirit. You can get this in your spirit. Let's look at this. I've already shared this to you, that the cross was a mystery to Satan. And since it was a mystery to Satan, Satan will know that you are an authority figure. He'll know that you know your authority and your ability, and that you know the depth of your anointing when you carry and respect the revelation of the cross and start filtering life through the power of the cross. He'll know you're somebody to reckon with. Amen. So look at this. Now we know in from chapter 1, verse 24, look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians 1, 24, the Bible says, "But unto them which are called both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." He talks about the preaching of the cross, the message of the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, in chapter 2, Paul is still keeping with this theme. Now, what am I doing? We're using this teaching to uproot inferiority out of you. We're using this teaching to uproot weakness out of you, a weak perspective, any weakness attached to your authority. There is nothing weak about the authority you've been given. Well, Pastor Mark, I tried to take authority over something, but nothing happened. Who said that? Don't say that. Don't think that. Anytime you release authority, something is happening. You got to live in expectation. Well, Pastor Mark, I prayed, but God didn't move for me. Who said that? Well, I don't see nothing. You're looking in the wrong place. Because of the power of the cross, you are guaranteed a response from Almighty God. Uh-oh, that'll make some theologians nervous. Oh, that'll make some preachers nervous. But they'll say that's heresy. What? Because of the power of the cross, you're guaranteed a response from God. Oh, okay. So you're saying that his response is going to be sometimes he'll say yes, sometimes he'll say no, and then other times he'll say maybe. That's not scripture. The Bible says for all the promises of God are yes and amen. And then the Bible says, 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what's your definition of anything? Anything. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Come on, say it right where you are. God hears me. No, say it with some confidence. Say, God hears me. Yeah. Let the devil on your street know Come on, say it again. God hears me. Yeah. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Jesus. Wait a minute. Did you get something from 1 John 5, 14-15? He did not say, and we know that we may get it. He says, we know that we have. Man, that sounds like guaranteed response to me. I don't know about you. So stop looking in the wrong place. Stop thinking wrong. Get rid of the stinking thinking and allow the power of the cross to deliver you from inferior living, to deliver you from insecure living, to deliver you from, watch this, weak Christian lifestyle living. That's not you. You somebody to reckon with because you're a child of God. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to wrap this up. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So Paul said, I didn't come to you trying to be a good orator. I wasn't trying to impress you with any speech. I came simply talking to you about the power of the cross. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. All I want to know, Paul says, is who've been delivered by the power of the cross. See, that's the message. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, reverencing God. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, he's just now talking about what he said over in 1 Corinthians 1. Of course, you know this, that this was a letter, so it didn't have chapters and verses. It was just one flowing letter. And he's letting them know. He's still talking about the cross when he talks about the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Now, when some Christians read this, they take and have taken verse 4 out of everything and said, this is how I want to live. I want to live in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. So they will categorize what the demonstration of the Spirit is and what the demonstration of power is. And all I'm simply saying to you is you can't take it out without keeping it connected to the power of the cross. I've been guilty of that in the past too. I had to understand that if I have this restoration mentality, if I understand the relationship the cross has brought to me, then that will connect me to the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Jesus. Watch this. So I have to understand. Let's keep reading. I'm just about done. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, in the power of the cross, which produces everything Jesus purchased for us, everything Jesus died for us to have. It came with power. Let's end with Ephesians chapter. This just. Little rabbit. Ephesians chapter 3. You know Paul's prayer here in Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll end right here. Verse 14. Is this what I want? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Or really it's chapter 1, but we're good. Chapter 3. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a prayer that you can begin praying over yourself. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Make it a prayer and pray it over yourselves. And then you got the other prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 16 through 21, 22, something like that. Okay? All right, let's look at this. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This strengthening with might, God's Spirit of might is the ability to do the impossible. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul talked about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He wasn't talking about in church services. He's talking about in your life, doing life. Look what it says here. That you be strengthened with might, the Spirit of might, God's ability to do the impossible. That you be strengthened with might by his Spirit. And where is this going to come from? Your inner man. The power of the cross positioned us to where now we can be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. Now you know what I said to you earlier, why I'm reaching. Man, I'm not settling, man. I'm reaching for more. I will live a much more life in Jesus' name. I'm reaching for it. So you got to reach for it. Stop settling for aches and pains in your body. Stop settling for days where you're down and discouraged and depressed. Stop settling for that. Stop settling for what other people say about you and say to you ruins the rest of your day. Stop settling for that type of lifestyle. You did that before. You lived that before. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and the hat, but I'm not doing it no more. Stop settling for that. You are more than a conqueror. You are a triumphant child of God. You are, glory to God, an overcomer. You are a winner. Look at this again. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now you notice from Philippians 4:19. How are our needs met? By his riches in glory. Look what else his riches in glory does. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So what do you think would happen to you if every day you begin praying to God, Father, I want to thank you. I receive it today that you are strengthening me with your might by your Spirit in my inner man. And you said it every day. You use that as a prayer of thanksgiving. What do you think would happen to your perspective? What do you think would happen to your mind? You will stop looking at life through losing eyes. You'll stop looking at life through delicate feelings. No, you look at life as a winner. Look at verse 10. That you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, may dwell in your hearts by faith. Not visit, dwell there. So when are you anointed? All the time. Not just when I feel a chill down my spine. Not when I feel goosebumps. No. Not when I quiver. No. You are anointed. You are anointed. And that anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. And the power of the cross positions you for that anointing, causes that anointing to be on you. And that's what Jesus died for you to have. That Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Wait. Rooted and grounded in love. Wait a minute. So if I'm rooted and grounded in love, then I don't have to accept living by feeling unloved. I'm loved. I don't have to live my life with this void or emptiness. Why? I'm rooted and grounded in love. And then verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, the anointed one, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When are you filled with the fullness of God? All the time. What about those times when you don't feel like God is anywhere to be found? I don't need to feel God. I'm already filled with God. You follow me? Stop living by your feelings and start living by faith. Learn to have faith without feelings. Jesus. And then I call this that champion verse that Christians everywhere know. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. You see it. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do. Stop. I just told you that you always get a guaranteed response from God. Now unto him that is able to do, has the ability to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. He's able to do beyond what I can ask, think, or imagine. So I end with this by telling you this. You're carrying a revelation that God, that you haven't walked into yet, that God wants you to experience. You're carrying experiences and encounters on the inside of you that God wants you to walk into. You're carrying a depth, a dimension of a lifestyle of living on the inside of you that God wants to bring you to. All you have to do is yield and allow the power of the cross to deliver you from a defeated lifestyle, weak thinking, insecure living. That's not you no more. You are a conquering child of God. Now unto him that is able to do. Let him do it. Come on, say it right. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I let you do what you want to do in my life in the name of Jesus. My days, come on, say it. My days of living limited and contained are over. I step into a new place of fruitfulness. Come on, say it with boldness. I step into a new place of fruitfulness. I step into a new place of flourishing. And I step into a new place of favor to be done in my life in Jesus' name. And I will always remember to give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. I thank you. Tell them I thank you for the power of the cross. I thank you for all that Jesus died for me to have. I receive it in Jesus' name. Help me to live in it, walk by it, do life because of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put those hands together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.